This week, Honolulu hosts the U.S. Mayor's Conference for the first time. Cities are sharing strategies for managing challenges from climate change to homelessness and housing. One local company that plans to attend has been working to win over skeptics about a plan to use deep ocean water to cool down downtown high-rises. It's an idea that was hatched in our backyard, and cities in Europe and North America are among the early adopters. Eric Masatomi is the CEO of Honolulu Seawater Air Conditioning. He's determined to see the cool, green, and clean project succeed.
District cooling as a practice is many, many years old. It's just a source that's different. There are many mainland cities that use deep water cooling, or district cooling, I should say. But the distinction here is the source of the cooling. In our case, it's deep ocean seawater. In places on the mainland, they are using things like chillers and ice stations to provide the cooling capacity. But the most, perhaps the most relevant is Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. They have currently provide about half of their campus with cooling from using the same type of technology, but it's their cooling source is Lake Cayuga. They run a line about 200 feet below to draw cold lake water in this case, but the principle is still the same. I think the city most familiar, it's not a United States city, but in North America, is Toronto, recent NBA champs. Toronto has an extensive system. They draw their cooling from Lake Ontario, and I believe that they draw from about 300 feet to reach the kind of temperatures that is required. Here in Hawaii, we're looking at 44 degree seawater. In Toronto, it's probably gets a lot lower, maybe about, it's about 39 degrees, but they draw that from Lake Ontario.
So how deep do we have to go down?
We have to go 4 miles out, about 1,700 feet to reach the source water.
Okay, so we do have to go deeper.
Yes.
So give us a snapshot, because you've been working on this project for a number of years, and you've had success in getting a number of key potential customers.
First Hawaiian Bank is probably was one of the first to come aboard, and that's indicative of First Hawaiian Bank's posture in the community. They're very civic-minded, community-based. So they're one of the larger commercial buildings. Queen's Hospital is just a significant user. Potential user. And we have, I think, in terms of sectors, I think the largest consumers we have is the government sector. You know, government over the past decade or so has really been moving towards a clean energy environment and, you know, resiliency. And so, ironically enough, government has been on the forefront as customers of this technology. We have currently signed up the federal building, which was, again, one of the early adopters. The state of Hawaii, we announced late last year the closing of a deal that includes 9 state buildings in the Civic Center. And we're currently finalizing negotiations with the city and county of Honolulu. Those are from a sector standpoint, those are the largest. In downtown Honolulu, we have about 9 or 8 buildings, commercial buildings also signed up. As I said, First Hawaiian is one of them. Finance Factors, Alakea Corporate Towers. There's a string of buildings that have signed up.
Okay, so you're looking for about a dozen more on that list in order to get the financing you need.
Correct.
It's a tough process because you're talking about some major permits, and the permitting process is not fast.
It's daunting. I mean, you know, my career in planning and development in Hawaii, this is probably the most complex set of regulations we'd have to. That I've had to encounter. You know, it involves onshore and offshore activities. And when you combine that and the levels of regulatory oversight at all levels of government, it can be terrifying if you're, you know, day one on starting a process like this. But I'm glad to say, as I said, this is probably the most complex permitting process that I've been through. But I'm glad to say that we're very much near the end. And frankly, I really believe that the permitting process would have going to be something that was the most challenging.
Right. So, I mean, you've gotten through most of the red tape.
Right.
So this concept of then putting a pipe out into the ocean to get cooler water and then to route it back on land to cool down these buildings on Oahu. I mean, that's a major deal. I mean, because you're basically, and you're coming under Kakaako Park, correct?
Correct. Well, alongside Kakaako Park. And the level, I mean, the depth that we're beneath the surface at that point, you know, it's significant. We're talking about 60 feet below the surface, running a pipeline from our cooling station in Kakaako out, as I said, out to sea. We're not going to break out of into the ocean until about 300 feet into it. So it's far offshore. From a system standpoint, it's very simple. It's basic, mechanical and thermal engineering, which can sound very complicated, but the reality is the technology is very simple. Very few moving parts, pumps, and a pipeline and a distribution system. So from that standpoint, it's very, there's no question, there are no questions regarding any kind of application of some exotic technology. It's there, it's in place, it's used throughout. I think the main thing to point out about this is because Hawaii is not familiar with projects like this, the best way to look at it, it's effectively akin to a major $350 million public project. Public infrastructure project. In this instance, the only difference is it's not undertaken by government. In concept, it could be, but it, as I said, it is capital intensive, and municipalities generally don't take these things on. On the Ontario system, actually, it's a very interesting case study because. The city of Toronto, in that case, was actually an investor in the original system. And after it was developed and after it's been expanded once and then continues to grow, the city actually sold its interest in the project at $100 million profit. So, from a financial standpoint, economic benefit standpoint, and fiscal standpoint. The city made a forward-thinking decision in proceeding and obviously exited after a private company, Brookfield Management, actually bought the system. And the irony on that is Brookfield Management has a big presence in Toronto. And when the project was first pitched, they opposed it.
Okay.
They opposed it.
But now they see the light.
That's right. And not only did it hook up, they basically bought the company.
So where else in the world is this being used?
Let me just give you if I can back up a bit, mm-hmm. Catherine, because this has a real interesting local story. The technology for deep water cooling had its origins in Hawaii. It actually was developed by our Natural Energy Lab at Keoholic Point. Which now actually uses a lot. They originally were developing a deep water source as a potential for OTEC, ocean
right.
thermal.
I remember studying that in college many moons ago.
Unfortunately, I also remember that.
Yes.
But the fascinating thing is that the application for air conditioning purposes was first conceived at Keoholic. That's something that Hawaii as an island state should really take a lot of pride in. But unfortunately, in Hawaii, and I'm sure it's not distinct to Hawaii, but, we're like prophets in our own land. If this was created 2,500 miles away, we'd probably be more receptive to the technology, ironically. But beyond that, also in terms of the installation and the application of the technology, two Hawaii-based companies have really been on the forefront of this. Makai Sea Engineering, Hawaii-based, has been doing all the deployment for all of the major installations around the world, including Scandinavia and Toronto, as well as at Cornell University. You know, the construction outfit that has been doing all of these installations is also based in Hawaii. It's Healy Tibbetts. So we have the expertise, both from a constructability standpoint as well as the technical standpoint.
And it was our idea in the first place, right. born in our backyard.
And everybody has, scaled it to application. So that's part of the neat, ironic story of this effort. And frankly, is what really captured my attention initially. It is being deployed throughout the United States. The other thing interesting about it, as I said, from a Hawaii standpoint, is if you look at the how it is applied and the inputs to that, it's totally based on our surrounding natural resources, right? We're using the coldness of the deep ocean waters to allow us to cool our buildings. It's a natural resource, renewable. We take the cold out, return it to the ocean in a benign level. I like to think it's pono, it's extremely elegant as to how we can sustain ourselves in the future and still make a tremendous impact. So it's a really nice story.
So it sounds like hopefully all the stars are lining up, because the governor has these great green goals and the city's into resiliency and sustainability.
Exactly.
So we're on the same page. We just need a few more companies on the list to round this out in order to get the financing
exactly.
to give it a go.
Right.
And you mentioned Europe.
Northern Europe, primarily Sweden and the Netherlands. They began like other areas, very small, pretty much a system like that we're trying to develop here. And now, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it provides a tremendous amount of cooling for in Stockholm, for example, and other northern cities. It's become actually a way of life. Of course, in Europe, in countries like Sweden, they're way ahead of us in terms of carbon reduction. We're not at that stage in Hawaii, but you're right, Catherine. Everything appears to be lining up. Back in 2006, when this effort actually began, it was ahead of its time in terms of thinking. Even then, even though we're conscious of things like climate change and global warming and the like, it really wasn't top of mind for most of the population. Today, it is. You mentioned the state and the city undertaking some very aggressive long-term strategies to deal with this. I like to think that the world, or at least Hawaii, has finally caught up with us in terms of, what we're trying to do here. Better late than never. In context, this will be the largest energy efficiency project ever undertaken in the state, by far.
That was Eric Masutomi of Honolulu Seawater Air Conditioning. The proposed project is said to reduce not only our oil dependency, but to cut water usage and sewage discharge as well.